Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are introducing a new company to the show and a company that isn't even listed yet on the TSX Venture Exchange. That listing will be coming this year, probably in the near term, but we really can't put a date around that because the company still needs to go through some of the regulatory final touches. The company is called Astra Exploration. It will be traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ASTR. We are chatting with the CEO and director, Brian Miller. We really just want to bring everybody up to speed and get you all a bit of insights into this company and the focus in Northern Chile at this Papa Paciencia project. Brian, let's start off with just a quick comment on how this company came to be. It's an RTO merger with Momentus Capital. Give us some more details on the creation of Astra Exploration, please.
Sure. Thanks, Corey. In short, Astra was started last year as a private company, brand new structure, and it was premised on the idea that there is great opportunity for gold and silver epithermal discovery in northern Chile, which is historically a copper-focused region. And the guys that were behind this idea had a project that they had identified that was supportive of that thesis, and that was Stuart Smith and Charles Funk. So the long story short is we bought this project, put it into the company in the process of taking it public. And as you mentioned, we should be crossing that finish line shortly.
Now let's talk about the project here, guys. We will get into the team, but I do want to give a bit of attention to this Pampa Paciencia project. The company holds an 80% interest. And as you mentioned, Chile, mostly known for copper, but this is a precious metals area. Can you give us a little bit more information on this area in northern Chile with other assets, other deposits, and other companies that are active in the area?
Sure. The project itself is located within 15 kilometers of two major mining operations. They're large copper mines at Sierra Gorda and Spence operations in northern Chile. And these types of deposits, these epithermal deposits we're looking for, are often closely associated with these intrusive porphyry structures. So the jurisdiction is an excellent location. And the structure of this, the type of deposit, this epithermal, is quite similar to what we see 100 and some kilometers to the south at El Peñon, which is a world-class low sulfidation epithermal gold silver mine that is owned and operated by Yamana Gold.
Well, Brian, just as we look at this Papa Paciencia project, you have a couple different zones outlined in your corporate presentation, the north zone, the south zone, the central zone, and then you also have this adjoining land package, the Impaciencia land package. Can you walk us through which targets you're excited about drilling as you get started on the exploration this year?
Sure. Just a brief background on this. This was explored by major mining companies the last several years looking for copper. So they were doing this exploration program, looking for these large copper deposits. And in doing so, they've discovered this epithermal gold system. They made the discovery, and it's obviously not a copper system. It's not what they were looking for. So there's really very little follow-up work that's been done on this. And they discovered this vein that's, with limited trenching and drilling, has returned, you know, some drill results. You know, say for instance, almost 4 meters, 3.75 meters of 7.7 grams of gold and 46 plus grams of silver. And so some really interesting grades with very limited drilling and trenching. And from what we understand, having been on the ground and doing some work on this project, this isn't just a standalone vein. There's great evidence that this could be a much more robust epithermal system. And the opportunity lies in the fact that this region is covered by a relatively shallow but very broad post-mineralization gravel cover. So these things don't daylight. They don't express well at surface. But with a little bit of work, we are finding that this property has some great potential to host a more robust system underneath this cover.
So, Brian, what's the exploration progress or plans going to be to test whatever targets you isolate as the priority targets? Because I know through some of our past conversations here is that a lot of this mineralization is going to be undercover. So the use of trenching is going to be, it sounds like, fairly important in the overall exploration plan.
Absolutely. And there's, as you mentioned, it's not something you just walk up and find. So it's a fairly involved process of doing a fair amount of work with geophysics, with mapping and sampling, trenching, and even some shallow drill holes with a smaller rig that just get through the cover and down into the bedrock, into the vein system itself. So it's a fairly involved process to prove up the confidence before you really step in and start doing some more intensive drilling, RC and diamond drilling, and spending more money. It's all about getting the best bang for your buck, obviously. So we have been conducting mapping and sampling. We've done some geophysics. We have done some trenching on the project, and those are all producing additional targets and giving us greater confidence in the targets that we were aware of in the first place. Case in point, I mentioned some of the drill and trenching results that were done by previous operators, and that's what we call the north zone of the system. And there's a couple other zones that we're interested in, the central and south zone. They have some trenching, but none of them have been drilled. And we know there's existing structures on those. We are finding additional veins, and it's all just a matter of determining what kind of mineralization is there now and proving up some drill targets for when we start some more intensive drilling, probably in February is what we're targeting.
Well, Brian, just along that train of thought, with some of that historical data that you have at your disposal that other teams have done, what was the average depth that they got to? Because it looks like in your presentation, it's still open at depth. And then would the plan be to do RC holes in a more shallow basis first, just to step out and test areas and then come back and drill them deeper with the diamond drills?
Yeah, as you noted in the presentation, some of the drill results that I mentioned earlier, those are within, you know, say 80 to 100 meters of surface. And so that was one of the first opportunities we noted with this property, was that there literally could have been the discovery hole already made, and there wasn't follow-up along strike or drilling down to depth further. And what we do know of these systems, based on the models, the experience of our team, is that often in these epithermal systems at shallow depth in the system, these veins can be more narrow and they don't tend to hold the grade. And it's not until you start drilling down at depth and getting deeper into the system elevation that you can really start getting into these economic ore grades and widths.
All right, guys, let's move on to the team here, because I'm sure we'll be getting more news out on the drill program when the company lists, but the team that is here is quite noteworthy. Brian, let's start with a little bit more of your background, then we'll get into some of the other directors.
Sure. So I started, I guess a very long story short, I started on the operation side of things, cutting IP lines and just making myself valuable in whatever capacity I could. And my business, my background is in business and finance, but I started on the operation side. I've had experience in the accounting side, business development, and served a CFO position at a previous company that I was at. And so I guess you could say that I have a rounded experience in my career so far. But one of the most important things I've learned is that regardless of what the assets are, what the goals are, what the company, anything about the company, it comes down to people. As I mentioned, when this company started, it was proposed a very solid exploration thesis as far as the regional prospectivity of a deposit type, but also a case in point example that looks to be a very attractive project with a lot of potential. And so I was quite excited about that. But what's got me more excited now is the team that we've managed to put together. We've got a board that has very well-respected and industry-recognized individuals who have noteworthy careers. And for example, Darcy Marut is a director on our board, and he led the team that discovered the El Peñon deposit, which is operated by Yamana. So he was there from the point of discovery through production. So he's got great experience as far as seeing a deposit like this from discovery through production. And he worked with a gentleman, Roberto Bittner, who is our country manager, our VP of legal and land in Chile. Roberto's got, he's got an exceptional business network. He knows how to get stuff done. He's got connections to people and he's very knowledgeable. So between those two and then Diego Guido, who is our head of exploration, Diego's worked extensively in Chile and South America. He's a globally renowned expert with epithermal systems. And the three of them have proven themselves amazingly capable to get stuff done on the ground, even in light of all the COVID challenges, everything else we've faced over the last years. So a team like this with this kind of experience and the relevance of experience is quite rare. And I would just add, in addition to that, you know, Stuart Smith, Charles Funk. Stuart's our technical director. Charles Funk is a director on our board, and David Caulfield. Their reputations, their accomplishments, they're very well known in the industry and they're respected. And it's not often that you get to put together a team that's of this caliber.
So, Brian, how did the team all come together then, pre or post acquisition of this Pampa Paciencia project? Was everyone involved in bringing this into the company? Have some come in later? How did it all come together in terms of time frame there?
It's been something that's, it really has evolved over the course of the year, the last year. And in fact, it was myself and Charles and Stuart were the first three people involved with this. And David Caulfield is someone I've worked with over the past several years. In fact, he got me, I would say, largely started in the business development part of the industry and is very much a mentor of mine. So Dave was somebody that I knew I wanted involved in a capacity that he was willing to serve in. And so, you know, I was quite fortunate to be able to have him as a director. And from there, it just kept building through discussions and collaboration as far as who we were looking for on the team. Dave introduced me to Darcy, and we ran the idea past Darcy. He thought it was a great idea. He thinks Chile's an excellent mining and exploration jurisdiction. And then, of course, he joined as a director, and he hooked us up with Roberto. And, of course, Roberto joined, and through another connection, I was introduced to Diego. And when you put Diego in front of people, it becomes readily apparent his knowledge, his expertise, his ability to communicate it. So it really has been fortuitous. And to say nothing of, you know, our CFO, Mahesh Leonaj, he's also involved with the Vizsla Silver Group. I've known Mahesh for years. He's an exceptionally well-organized guy, very intelligent, and he's more than your typical CFO office typically holds. So it's been a process that's evolved over the last year, but it's just, I don't know, sometimes things just line up in your favor. And if somebody had told me that I could have put together this team a year ago, I might have laughed at it, but I think we have an amazing group of people.
Well, Brian, it's exciting to see a good team come together. That's really most of the battle in junior exploration, is having that team that has the experience, that's worked on analogs of the project, that knows the area, and that has the track record to execute. So very good to hear. Let's shift over to the company financials, though, the share structure, cash in the bank, and any relevant financial information you can share.
Sure. I think that there are several attractive attributes of Astra. Like I mentioned, the project, the regional potential, the team, but to say nothing of, I think that we're coming out of the gates, we're looking to list with a very solid share structure, tight share structure. We're about 1.8 million in cash right now, and we have fully diluted about 25.3 million shares out. and that includes 265,000 options. And those are the only dilutives. There's no other warrants, there's no other options. And those were to Momentus Management, which Momentus being the shell company that we did the RTO with. So 25 million shares out, market cap of 7.5 million and about 1.8 million in cash. And we managed the last financing that we did, we raised just over 2 million bucks at 30 cents without a warrant. So I think that we really do have a strong share structure to launch with. And not to mention the fact that a lot of the shares are held with people who know the team, they understand the business plan, and they understand the exploration thesis. And Astra's management holds 26% of that. Arena Minerals, who we bought the property from, they own 23%, and the remaining has been Momentus has 13%, and the remaining has been through contacts at a relatively close network of investors that we've reached out to and raised the money for this.
All right, guys, I think we've covered a good overview here of the company. And look, we will be following up as the company lists and as we get some more information on the programs that are going to be underway this year. But again, we did just want to bring this company to everyone's attention because it will be listing relatively soon, hopefully, on the TSX Venture Exchange. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get those addressed for you. And again, we'll follow up on the back of the listing and any more news. Brian, thank you very much for this introduction. Keep us up to date on future news.
Thank you, Corey. Thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate it. And we'll certainly keep in touch.